Jeff Harding here with TS Tech, and I'm here with another interview, but actually I have two interviews. I have two interviews with two different people. One of them you're familiar with, and that's me. I also have Mike Wells on the line, and he's a therapist from the northwest area of England in the Lake District, and he's been in practice for quite a while. I'll introduce him in a moment, but I wanted to also introduce you to the subject matter for today. This is something that I think everyone listening here has had an issue with, conservatively at least half the people, probably closer to 75%. And this is about sore backs and back problems. And I know a lot of people, maybe you haven't had a surgery, because we're going to talk about Mike. He had a surgery just a couple weeks ago. But we're also going to talk about an issue I had about a year, year and a half ago, a chronic one, and how we utilized PS Tech on these things. So we're not just going to talk about, hey, it works, try it. We're going to talk about some real how-to and give you some tips on things that you might be able to do that can help you with this area. And you could probably apply it to other areas of healing and whatnot. So without further ado, I want to introduce Mike here, and I appreciate you, Mike, coming on here with us today. How are you doing today, Mike?
I'm fine, Jeff. Nice to see you.
Can you give us a little summary about your practice there, your therapy practice, and what you're up to?
Well, I'm based in the northwest of the UK, and I've been working as a hypnotherapist for nearly 30 years now. And 12 months ago, I got involved with PS Tech. I also work at schools with children, and it's keeping me very busy.
You have a website, right? What is that?
I do. It's mwhypno.co.uk. Mike Wells, it's for, so it's mwhypno.co.uk.
Okay, got it. So for 30 years you were working with hypnotherapy primarily, and PS Tech came on and you started integrating that with your practice, with your clients and patients.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've been working as a psychotherapist using hypnotherapy and dealing with root causes with issues, and I was introduced to the PS Tech and have just blown away with how effective it is.
Okay. Now, I know, too, we've talked previously, you're working actually in a school there and working with children with their, what do we want to call their emotional issues, any issues that get in the way of learning or get in the way of them being able to be functional. And I know we're not going to go into detail on that today, but I just wanted to mention that. And we talked earlier, I wanted to put you on the spot a little bit, because I know Mike's working on some things so that we can offer this to the PS Tech community and others on ways to deal with children with their learning issues, their emotional issues. So we're looking, hopefully, to have that sometime in 2012. So put you on the spot there. Does that sound good?
It's a good job. It's a 12-month on 2012.
Yeah, that's
I'll
true.
Get something
that's
together,
true.
And I'll teach people and share my experiences to what I'm experiencing within a school with the children, from exam nerves right through the spectrum, and you'll be amazed at how it works and how effective it is with children.
Very good, very good. Yeah, we've talked a few times, and you have some incredible stories, not only in the incredible things that these children are coming to you, and unbeknownst to them, really, have, inside them, if you will, in their mind, and that you're able to clear up for them miraculously. And I think when it comes to schools, having people come on site, I think they're going to be a little selective. You know, if it doesn't work, you're kind of out of there. So the fact that you've been there almost a year says something, and they keep renewing you, I believe. So so that's great. I think this is wonderful, and this can help not only parents.
Well, the word of mouth now within the school, Jeff, you know, it's just second to none.
Wow.
And a lot of children are coming and really getting stuck into the issues and sorting themselves out, which is great.
Very good,
but they'll have to wait till 2012 now, won't they?
Yeah, which actually,
on the spot.
Technically, that's only 3 weeks away, though, right?
I knew you'd say that.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get back to our subject at hand. I wanted to talk about backs today, because when I saw your email after your surgery, I don't know, it just popped in my head. I said, we got to talk about this. And then I was thinking, well, wait a minute. You know, I had this chronic back issue as well about a year ago, and, you know, tried everything kind of thing, just nothing working over the space of months. So I finally pulled out the PS Tech and used that. So we'll talk about that, too. So that's our double interview today. You'll get two shots, everybody. So you get a lot of angles here, perceptions, ideas, suggestions, you know, whatnot. But let's start with you, Mike. Let's start with you because yours is more recent. You had a surgery about 2 weeks ago, but give us a little background on this back issue because it actually goes back a couple of years.
Well, it actually goes back a lot further than a couple of years, Jeff, and I've always suffered with lower back issues.
Okay.
And I eventually got through for an MRI scan, which showed the L5, which is the base of the spine, that it was ruptured.
Right.
And the actual rupture was pressing against the nervous system. I think there's a sciatic nerve and other nerves down there. And that was causing a lot of pain on Tim's scale from 0 to 10, 7, 8 in the base of the back. And after walking a little bit, the pain in the right-hand cheek of my backside was agony.
Mm.
From there, they referred me to see a vascular surgeon. They wanted to check on that, so it was another MRI. And then they found out that one of the arteries that come down from the main heart down into the stomach aorta that branches into the legs was very, very narrow, and the one at the other side was narrow at the top as well. And that's where the surgery come forward. I was booked in for a major stomach aorta replacement. And all of a sudden, when they tell you that, and I've never been in hospital in my life for an operation, and I'm nearly 60 years old now, and then the mind started to take over, and that's really what we're going to discuss about tonight, Jeff.
Yeah, it's a funny thing. I think when you do go to a procedure, especially, you know, you've been diagnosed and you go for a procedure, whether it's a surgery or otherwise, there's not a lot of conscious thinking going on, I don't think. At least that's my experience initially. We kind of just lay ourselves on the table, so to speak, let them do their thing and hope for the best.
Yeah, that's right.
But there is thinking going on. It's just it's a lot of subconscious thoughts, fears, etc. So
yeah.
You had talked about this before. When you initially gave that diagnosis to have that aorta replacement, you didn't have a lot of emotion coming up with it. Is that true?
No, I really couldn't connect with the emotion, and it's a little bit like I was in denial.
Right.
I just really was emotionally switched off from it because, you know, they've just told me now what's going to happen, and it's got to be done.
So you looked at it, the effect of our conscious mind was, well, logically, okay, it needs to be fixed, I'll get it fixed.
Mm, that's right. And then later I was called in to see the surgeon, and I went in, and he had the MRI scans there. And he was showing me, and he said, look, he said, it's just a big operation. It's very intrusive. It's 3 to 6 month recovery. And we're going to see if we can come in through the groins and inflate the arteries that way without doing a full aorta replacement. So in a way, I smiled. I thought, oof, this sounds a lot better. But I wasn't looking forward to the actual operation itself. And then I started to get close to the date because they sent me a letter and I was going to be going in very quickly. And then I started to get the anxiety coming in. And then the mind using the images, because I had nothing to go on. I'd never been in the hospital,
right.
Or especially in a theater. And, of course, it started playing tricks. What will this be like? What will that be like? And on the from the scale of 0 to 10, I was probably a 9 pushing 10.
What kind of emotion? Anxiety, like? Okay.
I think more anxiety, and it's the lack of it's like the unknown. What will happen there, and what about this, and have they told me enough, and am I comfortable with that? And it just started to, as Tim would say, pattern match. And I could see what was happening.
Yeah. You know, the interesting part about this, before we get into that, is I see that, you know, consciously you're looking at it going, well, I got to have it done. And for some reason, the emotions aren't coming up, or maybe just denying them or not recognizing them. And I imagine back then, at that point, before the anxiety started kicking in, if I asked you at that point, hey, are you okay having the surgery? Do you feel okay about it? You'd probably say, yeah, oh, I'm fine.
That's exactly what I would have said. And that's exactly what I was saying to people. Yeah.
Okay, so you were saying that, yeah. So,
yes.
Yeah, I think when I sent an email to you, and that's a little different than conversation, but yeah, you were like, oh, it'll be fine. And
yeah.
I think that's what we do a lot. We are taught to have a stiff upper lip and all that kind of stuff and just suffer through it, get strong, all those kind of things. And that's fine, I guess, but it doesn't change the emotions that are underneath.
No, it certainly doesn't.
And those emotions will have an effect, whether you deny them or not. whether you recognize them or not, they're going to have an effect. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, it did. I thought, wow, what's going on here? And I was starting to get, I don't know, more than anxious. It was a lot of a mixture of emotions.
Okay.
And that's when, I brought in the click tracks.
Okay,
and I deliberately did it 2 days before the operation time.
Okay, so what were you focusing on? What was your focus on the click track?
I was focused on the feeling. I was focused on the feeling, whether it was a fear, anxiety. It was a mixture of feelings. And I couldn't isolate one feeling.
Okay.
So I put it on 9 out of 10 on the scale. And I went through the basic click track.
Okay, did you have did you focus on anything other than the feeling, like any kind of imagination of anything?
Not really, Jeff, not really,
okay.
Because it was the feeling that when I tried to look at the pictures, I'm aware through hospital programs on TV and what it looks like. That wasn't bothering me. It was just, why am I getting this emotion? Why am I getting this anxiety now? And that's exactly what I click tracked.
Oh, okay. So you're doing the click track and wondering why you're getting the feeling, right?
Mm-hmm. Because I'm telling people I'm absolutely fine, which I was, but as it got closer, then the emotion started to come into it.
So, and recently, Tim put out an email on the Y technique, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw that email.
I'm not so sure, to be honest, Jeff, no.
Oh, okay. When you have the feeling and you're not sure, where's this coming from? What's the cause of this? I mean, what's triggered this? He'll recommend running the click track, hanging on to the feeling, and just asking why. Why? Now, and that goes a little contrary to the click track. We don't like using statements, like reminder statements others. But just using that one word, why, and basically coming to the subconscious and saying, why this? What else is related to that? So you were doing the why technique and you didn't know it, right?
Possibly so.
Interesting. Okay. So you're asking...
I'm aware of it now.
I'll have to make sure I'll send you a copy of that email if you didn't see it. Okay, so you're just tuning into the feeling, not really any kind of event, memory, imagined, or otherwise, true?
No, just to the feelings. That's all I could grasp, because there's such a big concept of the different kind of feelings that to imagine something was quite difficult.
Okay, all right. What happened after you ran the click track on the feeling?
It was zero rated. I took my headset off and I just looked up. I mean, even though I've been doing this for 10 months now, oh no, sorry, 12 months, I just thought, wow, it's gone.
It's gone.
And that was it.
Okay.
So I then brought in the positive tracks.
Okay. Let me ask you this.
Okay.
So did you really try real hard to get the feeling back, that kind of thing, right?
I just couldn't. I couldn't get anything at all, Jeff, and that's an honest answer.
And when you do that, do you sit and kind of, wait to see if anything else comes up, or...?
I think you're always looking for that, especially sometimes you can have too much knowledge, but it just didn't return. And that 2 days prior to going into the hospital, even to going into the operating theater, it was still zero.
Okay, good. I think a good point here I wanted to make was running the click track with the feeling, you didn't really have... consciously any awareness of anything attached or connected, but that doesn't mean it's not being addressed. In other words, the subconscious may be doing its work along with you for that, unconsciously to you, which I think is always interesting, and sometimes it happens that way.
Yeah, that's true, though. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, so
it certainly worked.
So you're clear of the emotion. The emotion's feeling okay.
And then I started to look at the imagery of what I thought would happen. So it's a forward imagery.
Okay.
And then I'm thinking, I couldn't get any sort of feeling to it because now there was no feeling connected to the forward imagery.
Okay.
So I used and brought in the positive tracks for healing. And it was just, I think I did it, the 2-minute version, 3 times with 3 different sentences. And then I used the 6-minute one. And I brought in that my body and mind will heal fast and I'm going to feel a reduction in pain. I can't remember what the 3 were now, but I did them once each. And that was sufficient for me. I felt absolutely fine after that.
So you came up with 3 statements that felt true to you, good to you, Were they all pretty general like that? My body and mind will heal, or did you get specific?
Yeah. My mind has the capacity to reduce pain and heal fast.
Okay.
I know that was one.
Okay. But say that again. My body. Say it again for us.
My mind has the capacity to heal my body. Reduce pain and heal my body fast. I can't remember the exact sentence, but
that's
it was on online.
But something like that. My mind has the capacity to reduce pain.
And heal my body fast.
Heal my body fast.
I think the other one was I will feel relaxed and in control throughout the full procedure.
Okay, so there you got a little more specific. I will feel relaxed and in control?
I feel more in control.
And more in control.
Because I have nothing to compare with. I have no idea how I was going to feel in the situation.
Right. Okay. Good. So you have this is nice. You have a general, what I call a general statement, a positive statement here. My mind has the capacity to reduce pain and heal my body fast. But then you got a little more specific. I'll feel relaxed and more in control during the surgery being this specific event. Good.
Mm.
Okay. And then you had another one, too?
I'm trying to think what the one was, Jeff, and for the life of me, my mind's gone blank.
That's okay.
Similar lines. Very positive.
Okay, good. And then you ran each one using the PSTEC Positive 2, which is the journey one, right?
Yeah, I did the two-minute length one on both the first two statements, and then I did the six-minute one, the longer version, on the latter one.
Oh, okay, I see. Okay, so you mixed it up a little. Okay.
Yes, yeah.
You did a couple without tapping and one with tapping. Okay.
One with tapping, yeah.
Gotcha. What was the feeling after that?
Very difficult to describe because I felt very positive, very confident, to where prior to using the click tracks where there was the anxiety, now it's reinforced the confidence. And I was actually looking forward to it.
Really? Okay. Looking forward to it, okay.
I was looking forward to the end results, when I'm going to be free of pain and so on, you know.
Right. Okay. And the process to get to the end result, this being the surgery, felt right, if you will. Felt
absolutely, yeah.
Like the right way to go, okay.
Yes, yeah.
Did you feel that same positive and confidence all the way up to, you know, start counting backwards? Now, wait, you didn't have a general anesthetic, did you?
No, I had no anesthetic.
Tell us about that a little bit, if you don't mind. You don't have to go into any detail you don't want to, but whatever you might be helpful here.
I probably have to go into a little bit of detail, but I'll try to see if anybody's squeamish. It's not going to go too far.
Okay.
I was absolutely fine, and I was ready and taken into the theater, and they inject an anesthetic in the groins round the vein. Obviously, they can't inject into the vein, and then they insert a wire, I think. It's a wire that they're going to use to put the actual procedure, put it in place, the stent. And I was on the table for 2.5 hours.
2.5 hours.
And it was uncomfortable, and yes, there was a little pain, but I was very aware that the pain was being reduced by my own mind. Because I was perfectly relaxed and not tense.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
And towards the end, it was a very uncomfortable procedure, which the surgeon explained to me, because they don't use stitches, and it's a main artery that's cut on either side, they have to put a lot of pressure on with the thumb, and it's going to hurt. And both of them are either side of me, and they pressed down, and that pain was excruciating. And I would have said, if there was an 11 out of 10, that's what I felt.
Okay.
And I just went and immediately went back to the click tracks, and I started to count from 10 down. And I probably reduced it down to about 3.
Interesting. When you say you went back to the click track, what do you mean by that?
Yeah. In my mind. I hear the click tracks every day, and I'm so familiar with it. I just imagined it. And I couldn't tap because I had a monitor on my finger, so I was mentally tapping.
Okay.
And I just said, now tap and go back, and just like, it's the same principle as the anxiety. The pain anxiety is still a number, and it reduced down to about 3. And the surgeon kept looking at me as if to say, are you okay? I said, I'm fine. And it did reduce the pain down.
Interesting. So you were using the click track without the click track.
Just a mental version, which I've heard so many times, Jeff. I really have.
Yeah, I wanted to make that point because you mentioned that earlier when we've chatted, that when you work with the children at the school, you actually listen into the click track with them, right?
Yes, I do. I use a headset because of outside noises. The child's got a headset, and I have a headset tuned into the same frequency, obviously. And so I can see with the clicks, with the taps, if they're keeping in time. So obviously, if they're not, I can readdress it.
Right.
So I've heard it probably more times than most people.
Which is interesting. You know, one of the things that comes up from, because Tim's mentioned that it's a possibility, and then people kind of grasp onto that, about getting used to the clicks and tones where they're not effective, right? And
I've never experienced that.
I was just going to comment that. I'm like, well, you're using it. I mean, how many times a week are you listening to a click track, maybe, on average?
Oh, probably 15, 20.
15 or 20.
I do vary them sometimes with the children, because so they don't get bored. But either way, you know, it's immediately there.
Yeah. So you've been doing this for a long time, for the last year almost. It doesn't sound like you're getting used to it and it's ineffective. And so I wanted to make that point because I know people, once they get a suggestion that it might become that way, they start saying that, well, maybe it's not working for me because I'm used to it. And I'm not saying it's not true, but sometimes we jump on that a little too quickly. And
In your
case, what you did is your mind took over. You know, you don't need the external stimulus from the actual audio. It's already in there.
That's right. The program's been repeated so many times. I think if I was to close my eyes and try to record it, I could get all the words right.
Very good. Very good. Okay, so 2.5 hours. Wow. I'm just curious here. How come they didn't do a general anesthetic?
They can't, because they need you fully conscious.
Do they? Oh, interesting.
Yeah. For what reason, I don't know. They did explain it to me, but, you know, I didn't take it all in.
Okay.
What they did have, it was explained that because the parts of the arteries were extremely narrow and they zigzagged, they didn't know if they could get the stent or the wire through. And if they punctured the vein, they had a team in the theatre standing by.
Oh, okay.
So I would be anaesthetized and straight through. Obviously, if they puncture the main vein, then they need to get it sorted as quickly as possible.
Yeah, okay.
But they did a good job, and it was a good success.
Very good. Yeah, I've been through a few. In fact, I've had two back surgeries years and years ago, but it's always under a general, so no problem.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can't, laying there on the table, that's something else. All right, so...
I got into trouble, Jeff, because I was... it's just amazing when you relax and you're watching all the screens around where they're watching the procedure.
Right.
I think there were 7 nurses and 4 surgeons. And every time I raised my head to have a peep, they shouted at me to put my head back down because it raises the blood pressure. So I couldn't watch, which I would have loved to have done.
Maybe you can get it. Maybe you can get the video, the DVD.
I hope so.
Okay, so any other things during the surgery going on? I mean, you've kind of described it pretty well, but...
No, I think that really covers it. I mean, in coming back to it, I mean, if you take... I noticed a lot of people while I was in there. I was only in there a day and a half because I'm discharged very, very quickly. I had a full day of having to lie flat for 5 hours, then raising me up after 5 hours for an hour till eventually I'm out of bed.
Wow.
And they want to make sure that it's knitted together.
Right, right.
And I saw the amount of nervousness in people in the hospital, and I chatted to a few about how they felt. And I just wish I'd taken some sort of MP3 player in front to listen to.
Gather around and put it over the PA.
Well, it'd be good fun when they sat around the table.
Put it on the speaker. Okay. So any anxiety post-op there? From you?
None whatsoever. What happened afterwards, I remember going out of bed one morning, and I've got a full-length mirror, and I just looked up, oh, my God, look at them bruises. Oh, Jeff, they were massive, and yeah, I felt no pain whatsoever.
Wow.
Not a thing. You know, they were horrendously black and blue, and I thought, my God.
And I just looked up. Any anxiety around the bruising, you know, any thoughts?
None whatsoever. Okay. None at all.
Okay.
No.
So
the positive tracks would work their magic, as I called it.
So since your discharge, any residual feelings, anxiety and whatnot, anything?
None at all. I've still got quite a little bit, well, quite a bit of pain in the base of the spine, but my legs are now working absolutely fantastically. The pain in the right cheek has reduced by about 50%, and it's acceptable now. And I've got the warmest feet in the UK.
Just in time
for
winter. The floor
is amazing now.
Okay. Interesting. Any other comments on this?
Not unless you can think of any. I mean, I hope that's helped people who are listening.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I like what you did, and it's actually very similar to my experience. I played a lot of sports. You know, I have a lot of wear and tear, if you will. Had a couple, actually, had five knee surgeries, a couple, a shoulder, and two back surgeries. And when you said L5, I was like, oh, yeah, I've done L3, 4, 5. Yeah, I've been there, done that.
Yeah, yeah. You're familiar with them all.
Yeah.
So how did you handle the pain on that, Jeff? I mean, you wouldn't be using PS Tech then or anything like that.
Yeah, well, when I had the surgeries, the last surgery I had was, I don't even know how long ago it was. It was over 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And the first one was probably 25 years ago. So it's been a while.
Can you remember how you felt then?
Well, back then there was all sorts of anxiety. Not a ton. I had a practical side, but in one of the surgeries, there wasn't a lot of support, if you will. From the person I was with, put it that way. But so there was some emotional issues going on there that were, you know, undercurrent and underlying. But in general, looking back on like Tim's cold, PS Tech for the common cold and things like that.
Yeah.
And I think you mentioned it too. Don't want to bring it in here, but your wife is like one of those that just seems to fly through things, doesn't get a cold.
That was quite amazing,
yeah.
I sat and downloaded it. I know we diverted a little, but he's coming and he's connecting to your own thought process.
Yeah.
And I listened to it, and I just thought, that is my wife, exactly. She never gets colds. She hasn't time for them.
You listen to
that programming.
Exactly. And so, you know, I have some programming in there. I've done some other training, breathing. So back then, it was breathing and whatnot. And, you know, but I've laid off the heavy sports the last, 10 or 15 years. So, I don't have those same kind of issues, and I choose other exercises and whatnot that aren't quite as impactful. So,
So you've got to work it. You've got to adjust accordingly.
Well, but I adjusted in a way that I'm happy with, and you know, it doesn't affect. I don't think I'm missing out on anything or anything like that. And I think that's important. That you know, when you make changes, you make them within your mind find the reasons why. Let's say you're doing an extreme sport, and they weren't extreme. I mean, there's a lot of basketball, things like that. But we need to look at when we're doing something that is obviously damaging, you know, physically. Especially over a long period of time, we got to look at, okay, why am I attached to doing that? What's the fear of letting it go and not doing it again?
You know? I was about to say, it comes back to a fear, doesn't it, really, when you think about it?
Usually, yeah. There's a fear you're going to miss out on something or...
And my question now to you, Jeff, is if you'd had the PS Tech system then with that fear, I wonder what the outcome would have been.
Well, there would have been a lot of different outcomes in life in general.
Yeah.
You know, as I used EFT 7-8 years ago before PS Tech with a lot of my barriers, if you will, and then have honed in on more with PS Tech, some that were a lot more subtle, you know, I wasn't able to be conscious of and aware of to let go and heal. Mostly, I would say, when it came to emotional issues, like with relationships and whatnot, if I had PS Tech back then and the knowledge, it would have changed my timeline, but I would have had the same result I have now, which is empowering relationships, empowering business, great health. I didn't have bad health back then, but I did have a lot of injuries based on what I was doing. You know, I've let go of all of that. I don't have a need to go out there and play anymore, you know.
I think sometimes as well, you've not to hold on to what happened last week.
Right.
You know, you've got to let go of that, because when you come to what Tim says in the mind model and the pattern matching and everything, you've got to be careful that you, all right, you've had surgery, it is now completed, it's fine, but you're still holding on to that old pattern.
Well, exactly. That's kind of where I approach. See, about I'd have back problems on and off. You know, I'd have a week of 8, 9, 10, and then it would be okay. You know,
do you use any? What do you use on pain for that? Do you use mental reduction or?
Well, in the past, it was I would just stop doing things. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I'd get some massage or heat and cold and that kind of thing. You know, once in a while, go to a, you know, if I couldn't help myself and I had to go do something, then I'd take a pain pill. Not on a regular basis. I never had a regular prescription, but just periodic. So
I think sometimes you do have to do that. I do.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what I do now and what I'm getting more accustomed to is in the morning, I will use a positive track.
Right.
And I try to change it as often as I can just to reinforce.
Right.
And it's working well. Okay, it's not going to make me pain-free, but it makes me more comfortable.
Well, I wasn't really addressing it. I wasn't really paying attention. So, like, when you had your announcement or diagnosis that, here, you got to do the surgery, and you're like, okay, I'm okay with that. That's how I kind of operated on, or that's how I went through, you know, regular daily life was, well, that's just the way it is, and that's, you know, oh, well. And I didn't really think about it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you had asked me, hey, do you have any issues on this, I would have said no, and I did. You know, oh, there's nothing to work on.
Yeah. I think prior to the procedure, a simple matter of me walking to school, and I'm very fortunate the school is right behind where I live, I would have to stop 4 times because of the intensity of pain into my buttock and the base of my back. Well, now I'm walking to school with no pain. There's a discomfort there, but nothing like what it was before.
Right.
So the procedures worked.
Yeah, and when I had the back surgeries, they worked as well. You know, after recovery, I had laminectomy, and then just they took out. Yeah, I had fractured pieces of disc and pushing on the nerve, all that. Like I said,
but I think the main issue that I'm looking at here, is, you know, most people must feel this when they're going for whatever kind of surgery.
Right.
And there's a simple method of using the PS Tech system to reduce it.
Right. Well, I guess what I'm saying too here is, and touching on at this point was, I was going through for years and saying, oh, there's not a problem. That's just the way it is. I had a couple surgeries. How could I possibly be whole? How could I possibly be 100%?
Yeah.
And like when you got the diagnosis, it was like, okay, that's the way it is. And we ignore, because they're not screaming at us, maybe, to put it in metaphorically.
I think another way, it's just coming to my mind now on Tim's, on the mind model, where he does the example where if you're in a spaceship and you're looking at the Earth and it's not round, it's now cone-shaped, immediately your mind would change.
Right.
And it's just sprung to my mind now is that when I saw the picture on the MRI, that changed my concept completely.
Ah.
And it's coming back to what you were saying.
Right.
But what I didn't realize is the emotion and everything connected to it.
Exactly.
So I don't know whether you call it a form of denial. Well, that's it. I've got it. I've got to live with it. And that's the incorrect answer because your mind is very powerful and you can teach it to do things, you know, to reduce things.
Well, that's one of my new mantras the last 6 months to a year was, and I borrow this from, can't remember the name. Anyway, taking radical idealism. In other words, the things that people say are impossible. You know, you can't do that. Well, maybe if you're lucky, you know, things like that. And turn it into practical realism. Take the idealism.
I think sometimes the human mind's like a parachute, isn't it?
Yeah.
When it's open, it's effective. So just pull your ripcord.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But we have to be aware. And I really wasn't aware. I had PS Tech going back to last year when I did this back thing, you know, for almost a year, hadn't thought to use it. I tell everyone else to use it. I even help guide them. But
well, in the new year, you're going to do one all about your back pain in 2011 and how it's reduced it.
Yeah, well, actually, it was about a year ago, so it was back in 2010.
Right.
Yeah, a little more
right.
than a year ago, and I had done all the usual other stuff that seemed to help, you know. hot and cold. I have, you know, my now wife is a massage therapist and an excellent one, and it would feel a little bit better this time, again, last year. But, you know, within an hour or two or definitely the next day, boom, it was, and I'm talking, if I got a 7 pain, it would be a good day. You know,
yes,
it was usually 8,
that.
9, and it was even difficult to sleep. You know, sometimes when you have a back problem, you can kind of get comfortable in a spot and at least go, okay, I got relief for a few hours while I sleep. I couldn't.
That I can understand. I mean, I used to enjoy the fetal position because it's the only one I was comfortable. And then getting out in the morning, oh, no, here we go again, and there's that pain again. And to experience the before and after, which I'm experiencing now, it's incredible. Four or five I can handle, that's no problem.
Well, I felt like a pregnant woman because I would sleep, I actually still do now. I would have the pillow between the knees, you know, and everything and all, you know, try to get comfortable. But nothing helped. Yeah. And I borrowed, because I didn't have a prescription and I wasn't on it regularly, but if I had to go out like you're talking about, like to go and do some work or whatever, I'd borrow like somebody had a Vicodin or something and I'd, you know, try one and, you know, it helped. You know, I got through it. But there's just more denial. You know, that's coping. That's not solving the problem. So this went on for a few months. And that's the funny thing. You can go, you come up with a coping mechanism, even though you're not feeling good. You're surviving. You think you are. And you are, I guess. But, you know, you can go on like that and then look back and go, man, I've been doing this a long time. And finally, I don't know, something clicked and I go, I'm tired of this.
I think that's where I got to, Jeff. I got tired of it. I felt run down with it.
Yeah.
And so something has to change. Something has to give.
Yeah, we get pushed to a limit or something. You know, I don't know what it is, what finally clicked. And when it does, you look back and you go, man, don't I feel pretty close-minded or whatever, you know? Why didn't I
do
this earlier?
I mean, people don't want to hear you talking about it because they don't understand it anywhere.
Right. It's like we have to come to a point of exhaustion, mentally, spiritually, I don't know what you want to call it.
Any kind of chronic pain wears you out.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I think, like you said, you know, if you take a pill, hey, sometimes you need to and it's cool, you know.
Mm.
But it doesn't solve the problem.
I found I was taking very strong painkillers and all I was doing was floating.
Yeah.
You know, I was floating in the air and I still got the pain.
It finally just occurred to me. I feel terrible about this when I say this. Oh, maybe I should use PS Tech.
I'm going to have to keep in touch with you now. You're telling me what to do, and there's me,
the disciple,
telling you how effectively, but we're going to have to get you doing it, Jeff.
Yeah, and I can't remember. I had used it before on other things.
I'm teasing.
I understand, but I wanted to mention that. I had used it on other things now and then. I'm not a daily person because I don't have really a daily need per se. I do some positive almost every day, PS Tech positive.
Yeah.
And a lot of it I do the journey one without the click tracks. I just do it, you know.
Uh-huh.
As he mentions, after you do the journey, the second one without tapping, you can begin to do it even without the audios. Oh,
you can mentally switch on to it, can't you? It's as simple as that.
Yeah, exactly. And just like you did with the click tracks. In the surgery, while you were in the surgery.
Yeah, I think it was quite funny. I'm just going to bring in one little area, is that when I'm working with the children, in some cases, I bring in the accelerator. Well, in most cases, I bring it in.
Yeah.
I'm sat listening to it, and you'd be amazed at what he's brought back in me. Yeah, I can't, I'm running out of things to find now, Jeff.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm listening to it, and all of a sudden a thought will come in. I've never thought of that for 28 years, you know.
Right. That's kind of where I was. I was thinking, I don't have anything, you know, I've taken care of it all. And you know, when I work with people, they say the same things. And I go, that's okay. Let's do some other things and we'll find out. And this was an area where there was something going on that said, hey, this is the way it is.
Yeah.
And so something clicked in my mind or whatever and says, wait, Jeff, that's not true. It doesn't have to be. Can be if you want to. And so I had to sit with that and go, well, want to, pain at an 8. No, that's not something I want to do. Okay.
And there's a rationalization coming in.
Yeah. So what I first did was an assessment. I sat down with that and started asking myself the typical questions, you know. How do I feel about this? And I couldn't, for the life of me, I can't find my notes. I meant to keep them so I can share, and right now I can't put my finger on them. But I started asking questions about how do I feel about having this back pain? And just started asking questions and not evaluating or analyzing or anything, but waiting for the answers to come up. And I just started writing things down. I had a pad there, and I just started writing things down. Some of them were memories. Some of them were just thoughts. And things came up like this. There was some, and the emotional parts weren't high. The highest emotion was a 3 or 4, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that, if I can remember right. But they didn't come rushing in at me. It was just a thought like, oh, you know, I have some anger.
Yeah.
And I'm, at first it was like, well, I don't feel it. But there was just a knowing, and I've done a lot of self-assessment, so there was just, I knew there was some anger there somewhere.
Mm, so no, I listened understand where you're coming from with that, yeah.
Yeah, I listened to the subconscious that said there's anger. So it was more like a statement. Now, so then I asked another question. I go, anger about what?
I think also connecting back to the back issues, there was anger there with me because I was not doing what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I used to get so angry with it.
Right.
You know, I think most people with chronic pain, especially that's restricting what they used to do normally, then anger comes into it quite strongly. And like resentment, I used to be able to do that. I can't do that now, you know?
Right. Yeah, there's anger, a frustration, a whatnot. When as you age, you know, we look at that and start to get frustrated, angry. I see that a lot in people because, they don't want to let go of doing what they did when they were 20.
That's right, yeah.
And it's not to say that what we did when we were 20 was that wise either, though.
what's the old saying? The mind's willing, but the body's forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, that's all true.
The other comment I wanted to make on my observation with anger is I think anger is something that's pushed down by our culture a little bit more because it's like, it's okay to be guilty. In fact, that's quite, you know, that's quite...
Would you actually use guilt or would you use the word envy? Because sometimes you feel guilty where you're more envious.
Well, I was saying in general, guilt, like,
right,
you know, it's okay if I hurt someone, it's okay to feel guilty. You know, in other words, it's okay to hang on to guilt. You know, we should forgive others, but we don't practice it much on ourselves.
Yeah.
But when it comes to anger, anger is something that's not really okay.
That's correct. It's not, is it?
It's not acceptable. Again, guilt is acceptable. Hey, you did something wrong, you should feel guilty, as a matter of fact, which, you know, I'm not going to go down that route right now, but... In contrast, I wanted to mention, you know, anger is something that's just rarely ever okay. Unless you're angry at someone who feels guilty for hurting you, then it's okay. Anyway, again, I don't want to go down that route right now. But
there's nothing worse than being angry at yourself.
Yeah. Now, anger at ourselves, yeah. So these things, I think, are more subtle sometimes, more hidden, you know, harder to find.
Mm.
But
yeah.
I just kept asking the question, waiting for the answer and waiting for the answer.
Yeah.
And I, see if I could, I did that, let's say on a Monday, and I did it over the space of an hour or two off and on, you know, in between the pain, trying to get comfortable. And some of the things that I came up were interesting. Number one was anger at the surgeons that I'd had before.
Right.
Because they said, oh, you're never going to be 100%.
Yeah. I can see where you're coming from there.
Interesting. So I was pissed off that they gave me that limit. My perception or my subconscious perception, hey, you gave me a limitation. It's your fault. They made the suggestion, but I accepted it. You know?
That's right.
So there was anger around that, though. Okay, and there were several others, but I'm going to go over some, and this is by memory here. There was some frustration or anger toward my genetic predisposition, toward my father, toward my ancestors that also had back problems. Hey, it's your fault. You gave it to me.
I haven't got that far.
I have this predisposition.
Yeah, weakness.
You know, again, you gave it to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I can connect with that. Because just sorry to interrupt, Jeff, but when I saw the first picture of the very narrowed arteries, and he said he was going through explaining things, and I said, well, what do you mean by that? And he said, well, it could be genetic. Mm-hmm. So that connects to what you're saying.
Right. There was another general one. I think it had to do with anger, disappointment with myself, and I can't remember all the little details. So I had a lot of specifics, but I was able then to take them with my conscious mind, the analytical part, and go, wait a minute, okay, I have these five things that are all the same.
Yeah.
You know, very. So I kind of bunched them into three categories, and those were the basic three, I think.
Yeah.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
So I had these things related to these external people, doctors, medical industry, I can't remember exactly, and then my family line, father, whatever. And then my dad, when I was young, he had a lot of back problems. Mm. He had gotten into a motorcycle accident when he was young. One leg was shorter. He broke his leg. And then he always had, you know, he had back problems because it was off. And the first solution for many years was he went to this guy, the chiropractor, cracked him a little and then put some lifts in his shoe. And, you know, he's had specialized shoes, you know, a little higher heel and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then one day he went to a PT, physical therapist, and he goes, oh, we can fix that. And within a month, he didn't need lifts anymore, and he hadn't had a problem since, really, virtually.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, interesting. So I think there was a learned aspect there. Hey, you know, maybe that's just, I don't know. He had it, I have it.
I think, the learned aspect, if you look at it, it's everywhere, isn't it? I'm seeing that more so with the children at school. It's all learned.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to save the children thing for another time just to tease everybody.
Oh, yes, sorry. Yeah.
But
because done by 2012, haven't I?
By 2012, yes. And because I want to mention, too, that my wife and one of her grandkids, she had a great example of how they listen and they pick up everything and can turn it into some really, you know, for lack of a better word here, some crazy and scary stuff. It can really go up into left field. So,
well, you know, I've had many examples of that. So, you know,
yeah, I know. And we're going to talk about that one day, so tease everybody on that. all right. So I have these, I kind of grouped them into three, in part because I'm like, I don't want to do all these. I have like 20, 30 things here. but it wasn't so much that. It wasn't an avoidance issue, really. I'm kind of kidding.
No.
It was kind of a thing going, wait a minute, this is just like this. And it had the same feeling. And I kind of checked in and I go, is it okay to group these together? And it just felt yes, like it was right.
Yeah.
All right. So I run the click track, just the regular click track. I think I used the same one. I don't know if I threw in an accelerator or not. I can't remember. Anyway. I probably would if I did it today, and I might have. So I ran the click track on these three main categories, if you will, focusing on the one that was most intense. Well, I think the one, I kind of had an image of my father and, you know, the anger at him for, you know, handing me this, the doctors, and it was more just a blank, kind of a guy in the white coat, et cetera. I don't remember all the details here, but you know, I would focus on that and get it to a zero. Again, nothing was higher than a three or four, very low. So I ran those. Then after I did all that, I went back to these individual things and kind of just checked in with each one and felt, you know, does this feel clear? Now, I'm at a stage where I can look at something and go, no, it really is a zero. You know, I just feel it and know, it's like a knowing there's something going on.
You know straight away that it's a zero.
Yeah,
like I felt zero after the click track with reference to the operation. I knew it was a zero, and it never come back into my mind again.
Right.
And it's only now that I'm talking about it that I've become aware of it.
Right, exactly. Now, is there still a memory of it? Well, obviously, yeah, but it doesn't seem true anymore. Blame my father. To me, now it seems laughable. It's like, oh, that's ridiculous. Back then...
But it wasn't at the time, though, was it?
Well, no, and here's the funny thing. Back then, had you asked me, you know, maybe a month before or whatever, and go, well, do you blame your dad? I would have said no. Mm. But I had to get quiet and get into that space where it's like, okay, why why do I have this problem, and just let the subconscious present me with the issues. And then when it presented it to me and I was open to it, I go, yeah, that is true, I do.
You're really being honest with yourself, aren't you?
Yeah. So you got to take that time to get quiet, to be aware,
yes,
you know, and not use that analytical mind to go, well, of course I don't, that would be ridiculous. Well, there's a part of me that wasn't ridiculous, didn't think it was ridiculous, yeah.
Yeah, fascinating, Jeff, fascinating.
Yeah, so it does take some practice, that's the bottom line, with that kind of awareness, that, you know, assessment,
yeah,
if you will. And sometimes it's really hard for people that are so embroiled in the muck that, you know, you gotta bring someone in to help you kind of sort things out and ask you questions and kind of not let you off the hook too easily sometimes.
I think they just need that guidance sometimes, yeah, because I can think of one particular lady. I was seeing the daughter at school, and it finished up with I was seeing them both. And she downloaded the free click track, and I called in a couple of weeks later to ask how she got on with it, and she's not used it.
Wow.
And I couldn't understand why.
Yeah.
Why should she come? Because some people do need guiding, and they do need help from a therapist.
Exactly. Well, they
so
need someone.
Now she's working with me.
They need someone like I like to use, someone to hold their hand and walk through that,
yes,
forest to show them,
that's right,
that,
yeah,
the next tree, there's nothing to fear,
yeah,
there. Here, let me help you. You know, so.
And you're going to be there with them to guide them through it.
Exactly.
And that's what I'm finding quite a lot of.
So I went along the same path you did. This is very interesting. This is kind of fun.
Uh-huh.
Once I did, but I had a little bit more on the click track. I looked at my previous surgeries, you know, thinking about that, which you had mentioned, you didn't have any previous, but there really wasn't any attachment to them per se. And I had worked on the emotional issues I had with people around that time already.
Right.
But I never really addressed these issues. You know, this anger at the medical industry because, you know, they're proclaiming this, and so there was still an attack. It's funny. I would not
have. Still attaches, doesn't it? Still there.
At the time there was. The funny thing is, here's the thing, and this is really important. If you had asked me again, or, you know, do you take what the medical, because I've always taken, I've obviously used the medical industry, and they've been very helpful.
Yeah.
But when they tell me something, I would, you know, as a gospel, if you will, as this is the way it is, I would always question it. But there was something within me that wasn't questioning it, that was taking it as fact.
Right.
And was still attached to it. Now, maybe my anger toward them of being...
Possibly so.
Call it arrogant, was keeping me attached.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. So that's just kind of fun, interesting, why stuff, but it's really not important.
Of course, yeah. It's coming back to what you said before about this word, why.
But it's not important for us to really figure out all this why stuff. It's just figuring out why I feel this way, what's the cause, let's let it go. That's what this is about. So I didn't want, that's why I wanted to mention that, because I don't want people to get confused. This is not a question of why so I can figure it all out from an analytical, logical way. This is why, you know, why is this feeling here, and, you know, in other words, where is it coming from?
It's coming back to the connection to the feeling. It always has to be.
So I felt I'm done with these three click tracks. I'm checking in, double checking. Okay, things feel pretty good. So then I crafted. I only did one positive statement, and it was, let me see if I can get it right. It's been about over a year. It was, now this was a Tuesday, so I did this assessment on Monday, and then on Tuesday I got out the click track, and I started doing this work. And I did these three click tracks. It took about 45 minutes or so. And then I looked at a positive statement. I go, okay, what do I want here? And I'm still at the pain is mostly still. I'm still at the pain level here, you know, 7, 8, 9, somewhere, probably 7,
yeah,
8.
Yeah.
It wasn't the worst day. And I looked at it, and I said, okay, on or before. And I said, when's a good time for this to heal? You know, I want to be reasonable. And I checked in, and I asked my sub, I said, subconscious, you know, when's a good time I can heal by? And it just popped up. It said Friday. I said, okay, I'm cool with that, you know.
Yes, so Friday it is.
So I said, by Friday, I am flexible, pain-free, and ready to go. And I was picturing, because the lawn hadn't been mowed, it was, you know, been a couple weeks, and, you know, I was like, I need to get out. I really want to get out there, clean things up a little bit. And I had done it a few weeks ago, through the pain, if you will. And I said, I'm flexible. No, I didn't say, I didn't mention pain. I am flexible. I'm flexible, energized, and ready to go. And I didn't state specifically out in the yard, but that's what I was picturing. I was out there, and I was moving. I didn't wear a back brace, you know. I didn't, you know, none of that stuff. It was just, you know, I was there. It was done. It was a done deal.
And there's the imagery as well to it.
Absolutely. And it felt right. So I checked in. I go, this is, really desire this. It feels true right now. It's like, yes, it feels done. And it doesn't feel that difficult. That's not a difficult thing. I can hear, this is done. And then I went through the PS Tech click track, the positive one. I think I used the tapping one, And I did that. Okay? So I did that, and then I got quiet again. So what I do after a positive is I get quiet and I go, okay, what's my next step? What do I do next? And boom, it just came to me and it says, go lay down. I go, but I need to do some work. Can I go sit? Not today. Go lay down. I said, okay, I'm not going to argue.
There's the message.
And it said, put ice on it. And now, what I could have said was, well, I've done ice before. It didn't help. What I did was surrender and said, and I did whatever I was, quote unquote, told. So I put ice on it and laid flat on the back. And then, so that was Tuesday. And then Wednesday I woke up and I'm like, well, it's still there. But I didn't question it because it was Friday, you know, what I was thinking about. So I got up and I sat quietly. I said, what do I need to do today? I said, I need to do some work. Can I do that? Yes, but don't do more than 45 minutes at a time more than twice today. I said, well, okay, I'll live with that. And I did it. I listened, and I laid flat, did that, didn't do a lot of else, just did some reading and whatnot as I was laying.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, do I need to do the positive click track? And I said, well, you can if you want. You don't need to. So I didn't.
Yeah.
Okay. And did that, and then the next day I wake up and I'm like, Thursday, I think. Yeah, Thursday.
Yeah.
Feeling a little different. This is interesting. I said, what? Now, I've done this before, laid, not done anything. I've done all this before.
Yeah.
You know? I need to do a little work. Is it okay? No more than an hour, no more than twice. I think it was twice or three times might have been, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And ice in between, that's it. Okay. And I did that. So I got quiet and I listened. I didn't have any reservation. And when I thought about Friday, it was like, oh, yeah, on Friday I'm going to get out there and do something. There was no doubt going, so I didn't see the need to run a click track or anything.
Okay.
Friday I wake up and I'm like, there's no pain. No, wow. I'm not talking a good day like a 5 or a 4. There was no pain. Okay. And so I kind of got quiet. Did a little meditation. I said, okay, is it okay to do some work today? I got some computer work, and then I got to go in the yard. Yeah, it's okay. Anything else? No, nothing. So I did my work in the morning. I went out in the yard. I did that. What should I do next? Put some ice on it. That might help. Okay, I put some ice on it. Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else? No. Why? The answer was kind of like this, like when you ask somebody something ridiculous. Hey, should I do this? And they look at you like, well, why are you asking me this question? You know, kind of like,
that's right, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
What back problem? What should I do with the back? And they're like, what back problem? You know, and I go, oh,
that's right.
Interesting.
Fascinating, absolutely fascinating.
So that was, like I said, I think it was, I'm going to say August, September last year, I'm not sure. I haven't had a problem like that since.
Right, you just taught me something there that I'm going to start doing next week.
What's that?
It's very similar to what you've just done.
What's that? Which part?
You know, with working from the set of Friday with the yard and cutting of the grass.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to start to work on that. I'm going to give myself something to go forward to and work in between.
Yeah, but at the moment,
silly things like it is luxury to be able to put my socks on.
Yeah, true.
You know, I can bend and put it on. And like you, throughout the summer, there's no way I could have cut that grass. No way I could have weeded the garden.
Right.
But now I can see that in the imagery, so I'm going to work towards it.
It seems more feasible.
More acceptable, more feasible.
You know,
the important thing
about dates and time frames, though, I wanted to make this kind of noted that. Number one, I didn't make it a conscious choice. You know, like, oh, I got to do it by Friday. Whatever.
Yeah.
I asked permission and to make sure I'm in harmony with the subconscious, and that's the answer I got. Now, had I got to Friday and I not felt well, would I have felt disappointed? That's the point here. If you do feel disappointed, use the click track on it and start over.
Of course, I would do that immediately, but I can't see that happening now.
Right. No, I understand that. But but having a time frame is okay because it gives you something, like you kind of just touched on, that's why I liked what you said, to shoot for. I know what I'm shooting for. I have a measurement stick so that I can tell, hey, am I on track here? Did I miss something?
If you shoot for the stars and just reach the moon, does it matter?
There's that too, but that's more, to me, that's more of a justification.
I suppose so.
It can be, let me put it that way.
I'm talking more to do with the threshold. If you reduce the pain from, say, a 5 down to a 3 where you were looking for a 1.
Sure.
And I'm sure a 3 is acceptable.
Sure, absolutely.
Mm.
I use the dates, though, as a measuring stick, because if I get there and it's like, okay, it didn't quite turn out like I intended, how can I change this?
Yeah.
What do I need to do now to reset and start again, so to speak?
That's right.
It's like,
yeah.
you know, getting a second chance, if you will. That is just a little different perception, but it's about
sometimes
not...
you got to. Sorry.
No. Go ahead.
I think sometimes you got to be careful. If you do use your yardstick, I suppose my thinking is different, and you don't achieve it, then you'll feel disappointment.
Right.
Well, I never would.
Right.
You know, I will know that I've done the best I can, and if I was in pain that day, then I listen to what my body's saying and I chill out.
Yeah. So just some notes there on that. Now, with me, again, what I do is check to see if I'm in harmony with that date, you know?
Yeah.
And one of the ways that I do this, and this is, some people have heard this, I talk about Jeep and then non-Jeep, you know? If you have Jeep, joy, enthusiasm, excitement, and peace.
Right.
There's also a false Jeep, and that's something to really watch for, and that would be, I'm really excited, let me use my example on the back thing, I'm really excited about Friday because I'm going to be able to get out there. That could be really a false Jeep, because what it could be is the excitement that I'm going to finally be over this, and there's an attachment there that...
I was just about to say that was an attachment, didn't I?
Yeah, and so... which creates disappointment, which it's all an emotional attachment to a particular outcome. There may be an issue there. So how I test it is I look at the excitement. Let's say it's excitement of, okay, on Friday I'm going to be able to be, I'll be up, no pain, that'd be cool. And I look at that excitement and go, okay, let's say it doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say Friday comes and the pain's not gone. How am I going to feel? And if my feeling is, oh, crap. or anything that's not peaceful, then I know I got an attachment and I need to look at that.
Yeah. But there's the click tracks as well, isn't there? That's what
I'm doing. Pull out the click track, exactly. So I did look at that. I go, okay, Friday. I didn't mention that here. It just didn't pop in my head. I looked at that and I go, okay, what happens if Friday comes and, you know, quote unquote failure? How would I feel? And I thought, it'll be okay because it'll be okay. Maybe I have to spend more time with it. Whatever it is, it's okay because I feel at peace now. Because at that moment, go ahead, sorry.
No, it's all right. I'm just saying you got to accept it and just accept what's happening.
Right, exactly. And I accepted the process, and I accepted that. Here's the funny thing. I was still in the pain that Tuesday after I did the click tracks. My pain didn't really subside for a day or two, noticeably. But I was at peace with it.
There's the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's the difference.
It was like...
When you're at peace, then it helps the pain reduce even more.
It actually does, yeah. So
there's no anxiety connected to the pain anymore because you're at peace with the body.
Right. Now, was there a perception in me that said, hey, I got... This takes a day or two to actually heal physically? Yeah, maybe. And that's fine. Would I like to experiment and find how could I get instantaneous relief? Yeah, I'll play with that. And I am playing with some things in that area. But But it felt in harmony was what I mean, and it's just a knowing that you have. It's like, okay, I know that my mind is in harmony at this point on this issue. So
that's right. Yeah,
we'll move forward, and I'll just wait for inspiration. What do I do? Well, okay, yeah, you can do a little work. You know, sitting at the the other inspiration I had was right. The first day it was, yeah, you can do some work, but you have to lay flat with your laptop rather than sitting at the chair. I go, oh, yeah, okay, I'll do that. And I did it, and it was fine. So, you know, there was some
inspiration. The body will always let you know, though, won't it?
Yeah, it'll let you know if you listen.
Yeah.
If you listen.
Yeah. That's the problem, is listening sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, I've just got to do this. I'll listen later.
Yeah.
We all say it. You know, I'm a culprit of it, but now I'm listening, and now I'm really in tune.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And unfortunately, it took surgery to get me to that point, but I'm there.
Yeah. All that matters right now is the moment.
For
me personally, the back thing's not an issue. And it really opened my eyes to a few things, to several things that I'm doing on a
mm-hmm.
more regular basis. How about you? How do you feel now about your back issue? I know we may have asked you once, but...
I don't feel it's an issue, in fairness. I'm on the recovery mode, and I'm recovering. Each day's getting better.
Right.
And I suppose it's a saying I used to come out with. I feel really good today, but I'm going to feel that little bit better each day and every day.
Okay.
And that's what I repeat to myself, and that's happening.
Good.
If you do get a bit of a knockback, it's not taking place anymore. Just rest. Now, maybe I'm pushing the body too hard sometimes.
Right. Well, very good.
Yeah.
Well, I know by listening to you what you had to share, there was a lot of great info here for people.
Oh, thank you, Jeff.
Do you have anything to add to all this?
I think I've really enjoyed the conversation. I really have, and I hope people enjoy listening to it.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I'm available via email. If anybody wants to ask me any questions, please do.
What's your email?
It's mwhypno@yahoo.co.uk. If they go onto my website, they can click on the button there to email me.
Okay, either or that, yeah, your website,
yeah,
which is mwhypno.co.uk.
That's the one.
Very good. All right. Well, again, Mike, I appreciate your time here today. And
thank you, Jeff. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
In advance, I'm looking forward to the stuff on how to use PS Tech with children.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you'd get it in.
Well, we think alike, because I knew I would say it, too. I really appreciate your time here. This is, I think, really helpful. There's some goodies here, not just theories and concepts and thoughts, and
mm-hmm.
but some good how-to. So I hope everybody can put this to work. Down below here on this page where you find this audio, if you can put some comments, give a great big thanks to Mike there for coming on with us and sharing with us some of the gory details, but not too many.
I tried to keep it as less glory as I could, you know, less gory.
But we appreciate it. So if you can leave him some comments, you know, he'd appreciate that and some thanks. Or
yeah,
visit
him
if you have any questions. If you have any questions on working with kids, feel free to email him or go to his website.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks again, Mike. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much indeed, Jeff. Yeah, thank you.
Keep going on that healing process there and that path and all the work you're doing. I appreciate what you're doing with the kids at the school. And all the other things you're doing, and the work on yourself. That's always helpful, too, to all of us.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right, you take good care. Everyone, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Take good care. Keep on clicking. Aloha.